For a minute there, I think Miss Kim had some flashbacks of Sunday school for a second. But no, it's good to be back. Good, sure appreciate the opportunity to preach tonight, to be back home. I tell you what, just finished second year of Bible college, and again, it's just good to be back home. And nothing like being in your home church with your church family and all those many great things. I tell you what, I don't know if this will mean anything, but again, I sure appreciate, Pastor, if you get up there in Lexington, Kentucky, and in the church up there, and sure appreciate the leadership and the preaching and all those things. But again, there's good people there, but again, it's sure not our church home and our church family, and sure appreciate y'all. And most of those stories probably involve Brother Nichols, so don't let him just put it all on me. So, but no, I hope to be a help tonight, and the Lord, when he gave me this a few weeks ago, again, he challenged my heart and spoke to me, so I hope I can get that across tonight, and the Lord will speak to us tonight. If you want to turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. No, we're going to read two verses there, and then we'll read just one verse in Jeremiah. We're going to take a break from the end times doctrine and all that. You know, I thought about maybe answering some questions, but I'd probably, you know, spit out some heresy and then I'd be fired. So we're gonna save that for preacher, and we'll just stick with this tonight. But I'm gonna go ahead and start reading and put this up here so I don't go way over. But we're gonna read just the first verse and the second verse, and then we'll jump over to Jeremiah. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from our God, from God our Father, and Jesus Christ our Lord. And let me jump over to Jeremiah. I'll just read one verse from chapter 5, verse 5. And I will get me unto the great men, and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord, and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. I want us to focus on that, just that top statement at the verse. I will get me unto the great men. And I just want to give us a challenge tonight. Just speak to us, maybe the Lord will speak to us on the topic. Are you investing in someone today? Just a simple question. I want you to think about that. Are you investing in someone today? Let's pray and we'll get started. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the great service we've had already, Lord, with the good songs, Lord, and just about living by faith and serving you, Lord. And Lord, what a fitting song, the longer I serve him, Lord, and how we're working towards the kingdom, Lord, and our rewards will be up there, Lord. And as we invest in people here on earth, and we may not get rewards here on heaven, but or here on earth, Lord, but up in heaven, Lord, we'll see the rewards of that one day. And Lord, I pray that you would be with me, Lord, that you would fill me with your spirit, with your power, Lord, that honestly you would get me out of the way, Lord, and you would just speak to us today, Lord, and keep the distractions away. And Lord, just give me the words to say. Lord, use me. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to think about maybe that person, young and old, whatever the case may be. I want you to think about that person that you would look back to and you would say, really invested in your life and really took time and whether growing up or maybe it was whenever you became a new Christian, whatever that case may be, whoever that person was in your life that took time and you would say, you know, they're a big reason of who you are today and took that time to invest in you and to help you grow in the Lord. And again, there's several people, as Brother Nichols said, I grew up in this church since I was little. And, you know, I'm trying to look around and see who all got on to me when I was little. And that's probably most of the people in this room. But no, I'm just kidding. But again, several people along the way have invested in me, took time with me and helped me to grow. And I think of just a couple. Again, my father, of course, Brother Nichols, pastor. And we were actually just talking the other day of me and David and Garrett and Zachary, and how even when we were younger, they just kept us around the church, and whatever they were doing, that's where we usually were. And we weren't always profitable to what was ever being accomplished, whatever that might be, but you know, they kept us around and we watched and we learned. And now most of us, all of us leaving to go to college and desire to do what the Lord has for us with our life. And I just sure appreciate that investment. But I want you to think about who that person is for you. I don't know if it's, again, if it's a church member, maybe it's a friend, maybe a family member, maybe a youth pastor, whatever that may be. And I want you to think about this. The way you think about them and when you look back to them, I want you to think, am I that person to somebody else? Is there somebody who either right now or later on will think and look back to me and say, you know what? that person really made a difference in my life. That person invested in my life. And I want us to think about that. And honestly, it's a sobering question. It makes us think, you know, as Christians, what is our purpose here? You know, God saves us and we get baptized and we get plugged into the church. And what's our purpose? You know, we're not all called to preach. We're not all called to be missionaries or whatever the case may be. But we do all have a purpose. And the Bible is pretty clear on that and how we're supposed to reach out to people. We're supposed to give the gospel, and we're supposed to disciple people and invest in people. And a lot of that is, again, growing up, I saw that here in the church, and just 2 years of college done and just growing and working, even this summer, just learning that ministry is people, and ministry is investing in people and loving people and spending time with people. And I think we just need to get a hold of that. And I think with the verses that we read earlier, we read in Timothy, we certainly can tell Paul was that person for Timothy. And Paul was that great man in Jeremiah that we read about for Timothy. And many believe that Timothy was most likely a convert of Paul's from his first missionary journey to Lystra. And both 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy refers to him as his own son in the faith. And even if he wasn't the direct person who maybe led him to Christ, he was right there and plugged in and seeing Timothy come to Christ and grow in the Lord. And so I would say Paul really took some time to invest in Timothy. Paul spent much time investing and spending time with Timothy, teaching and helping him to grow in the Lord, to reach his full potential for Christ. And in 2 Timothy, we see the last known words to flow from Paul's pen. The Apostle Paul, we know of writing several books in the Bible, and God just used him greatly. And in 2 Timothy, he's writing his last letter from a prison cell. And again, we think about Paul, and he's been around a little bit, and God's used him to do some great things, and he's traveled, and he's seen some different things, been in different ministries, and just been a part of a lot of things, seen a lot of things. And so this is going to be perhaps the last time he's ever going to be able to write a letter or whatever that case may be. So with all that, what does he write? You know, this is his chance. If there was ever a time for Paul to set the record straight about anything, it was now. If maybe he had to make any complaints about anything or maybe he had to, again, set the record straight for something of something that maybe somebody said about him or something that happened in his life before, whatever that case may be, this was last chance to write. It was the end of his life. However, in 2 Timothy, in this letter, we see no apology, no explanation for anything, no caution or complaint or rant about anything. We don't see that, but Paul used his last letter to deliver five exhortations to his son in the faith. One, he used that last letter to give one last challenge, one last charge and encouragement to Timothy. And you read that in it, if you just, a small summary of all of it, he used that last letter to tell Timothy, keep on keeping on and keep serving the Lord with your life and grow in these areas. And he could have wrote about anything, but the last thing he wrote was he wrote to Timothy and wanted to be encouragement to him one last time. And when we think about that is he's sitting in the prison cell and there's not much to look up to, not much to have hope about as he's sitting in a prison cell. But he can think about Timothy and how, and all those people that he's invested in. And if he can send one more letter to Timothy, and one day he'll be in heaven, or as Paul gets older, he'd see the great work that Timothy would do. And we know that God used Timothy to see many saved, and he used him greatly. And Paul can look back on that and say, you know what, I don't regret any of that. I don't regret writing those letters to Timothy. I don't regret investing in Timothy. And I believe Paul sat there in that jail cell, and he took that time to say, this is my last chance to give that word of encouragement and challenge to Timothy. So I want us to think about that. And again, I would say Paul loved Timothy and saw potential in him to invest into his life, and that hopefully would have lasting results. And as we invest in people here on earth, and as there's different people around, whatever, different levels of investment, as we love people and invest in people, that's going to have a lasting result. We may not see that right away. It may be years down the road. It may even be in heaven one day that we would know what came out of our efforts. But there's going to be lasting results as we invest in people. And God's going to bless that. And people's lives will be changed by us simply investing in their lives. I want us to think, and we've talked about Paul, and I don't think we often think about this. I was listening to a message the other day while I was out cutting grass by Brother Joe Arthur. Maybe some of you know him. But we think about, whenever we think about Paul, we think about the great apostle who, you know, who God used and changed completely. Paul used to kill Christians, and you know, he used to persecute the church and all those many things. And then he got saved. But there had to be a time where Paul was, he was a baby Christian. He was a new Christian. And you know what? He was just as bad as us. He was a sinner just like us. But praise the Lord, he saved him just like he saves me and he saves you. And man, that's a blessing. And sure, that sure is encouraging to us. And so taking that, I don't know about you, but I don't think Paul was real polished and cleaned up. Real polished Christian. I think he was probably a little rough on the edges. And maybe a little gruff, maybe a little rude, and maybe didn't know all the ins and outs of Christianity. And the Bible doesn't necessarily mention a bunch of names of those who did invest in Paul. But that means from this time, when Paul was this new baby Christian, up to the point, to the Paul that we know, that means somebody took time, and they showed him the ropes, and they were patient with him, and they helped Paul grow into the man that we all know today. And let's just plug in, and we're going to hit this later, but let's just plug in right there. We never know who we're going to be investing in. You know, let me tell you, that hoodlum that's running around, or maybe that bus kid or that bus teen that we pick up, and, you know, he's a little bit rambunctious, and maybe he's a little bit disrespectful at times, but I tell you what, God used Paul to become one of the greatest Christians that we know and we learn from today. So, man, that should just encourage us and convict us to say, you know what, we don't know who we're investing in today. And a quick thing. When we're in college, we have chapel every day, and we have different preachers come in. Maybe sometimes it's staff, or we have preachers from outside come in. And I'll tell you, I was shocked by how many preachers we hear and meet and even hear about who used to be bus kids, and who used to have just a terrible home life. And some of the stories we hear, and I even go to college, Bible college, with several people that grew up on the bus, and still their family isn't in church, but. They grew up on the bus, and I tell you what, man, that's encouraging to me, especially if we've ran a bus for years here. We never know who we're making a difference in. We never know who those lives are that we're investing in and the plan that God has for them. And again, so the disciples, I'm going to assume the disciples probably, they took him under his wing, and the Bible doesn't name specifically a lot of people who helped Paul, but they were patient with him. Hey, they taught him without being a jerk. Again, let's look back at what Paul did before he got saved. He killed Christians. He persecuted the church. He was not a good man at all. And so he was probably a little rough, but you know what? They were patient with him. They taught him without being a jerk. They didn't look down at him with maybe a prideful attitude that, you know, you just got saved. I've been saved at this length of time. You know, I'm this good of a Christian. They didn't look down at him with a prideful attitude. They didn't avoid him in the church pew or at the church function in the back. They didn't stay clear of him. They didn't go so frustrated with him when maybe he didn't have the polished speech like we have, or maybe he didn't wear the right clothes, or he didn't have the right haircut. They didn't avoid eye contact with Paul, but they didn't stay clear of Paul, but instead they weren't too holy themselves that they forgot. The Bible tells us to take joy in these new converts and to help them grow and to encourage them. And let me tell you, that can be a challenge to all of us. Let us not get too not get too far in our Christianity where we think we're a little bit better than that person, and we forget about where we were when God saved us. That we're a little bit too holy to help them. And you know what? I'm coming to church for me. And for whatever the preacher wants to give to me, and he's distracting me, or that person distracting me, again, that person doesn't look right when they're coming into church. That's not the right clothes they should be wearing. Let's not get too holy ourselves and get too full of ourselves that we forget that what our purpose is. Here, I heard a preacher say one time, and he said, if there's not cigarette butts in the parking lot, then we're not reaching people. And that's comical, but hey, I like it. It's true. And that's our purpose here. Our purpose is to reach people. And as new converts, I mean, I can't tell you anything more exciting than just seeing a little bit of growth time after time. And especially if we can have a part in that and helping them grow and be patient with them. I go to a friend of mine in college who was out visiting, and a guy from that he had invited came from work, and he came to church, I believe he got saved that morning, and so he came to Sunday school. Now, between Sunday school and church, he went out and he smoked, but hey, it was encouraging to Devin that man had come and that he invited him to come to church. That's encouraging, and that's our job here. Let's not get away from our purpose here, and that You know, we should take joy in these new converts and help them, invest in them. And again, us as Christians should desire to invest in people, to see people saved and come to Christ, and then take time to invest in them and see them grow as better Christians. And Matthew 28:19-20, it tells us our purpose. It gives us a command of what we're supposed to do as Christians. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And if you can turn your Bibles real quick to Acts chapter 9, just a verse or two I'd like to hit. Acts chapter 9. We're going to read verse 26. I'm going to go ahead and start reading for sake of time. But and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. And these four words right here is what stuck out to me. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto him how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. But Barnabas took him. You know, he'd come into the disciples. He had just gotten saved. Paul had already started preaching a little bit after God saved him. And he'd come to the disciples, and he wants to learn from them, and he wants to be with them. And I'm not necessarily, bashing the disciples. I'd be a little bit worried, too. Paul used to kill people like them. So I'm not going to lie, I'd probably be a little bit hesitant, too. Like, whoa, I don't know, man. But what encouraging, those four words right there, but Barnabas took him. And so the disciples a little bit worried. And I see Barnabas, he stepped in and maybe he put his arm around Paul and said, whoa, 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 hold up, guys. I know that Paul was this before, and I know that he killed Christians, and I know that maybe he was letting the devil run some things in his life, and he wasn't perfect. But I tell you what, God saved him. He's no different than me and you now. Hey, I've already heard him preach. I believe God wants him to be a preacher. Hey, guys, I think God can use him. Hey, let's take Paul with us. Let's teach him some things. Hey, there's nothing to be afraid of. He's a child of God just like us. And so let's take him with us. Let's show him some things. Let's show him the ropes. Let's help him to grow and let's teach him. And man, what an encouragement that Barnabas was right there. You know, are you a Barnabas? Or are you maybe the disciples? Man, I don't know about that. Are you even a Christian? Are you even a disciple? Maybe do we just more like shake it off and maybe cast them to the side when somebody just wants some help and they don't know everything, so they need somebody to teach them and to show them. And man, let's strive to be a Barnabas to help those people, those new converts, and to help them grow in the Lord. And what an encouragement that was. Now, we see that in Barnabas' cell. How can we relate that to us in our day and what Barnabas stepped in and did? And we see that right now Paul was a Christian killer he persecuted the church and all these many horrible things. And we don't necessarily deal with that today, but what does that look like for us? And maybe Barnabas came in today and maybe he tells us, hey, listen, I know we put gum on the bottom of the pew. I know maybe he or she, they're a little bit distracting in service and they keep getting up and they keep talking to their friends, or maybe they come to church or they ride the bus and they're not wearing the right clothes that we all wear, and maybe they don't have the right haircut, maybe their hair is a weird color, or maybe their clothes have something on it, whatever the case may be. Hey, maybe they don't smell the best, and maybe they don't play the part as good as we play the part, but you know what? Hey, God wants to use them just like he's used us. He wants to save them just as he saved us. And hey, let's be a Barnabas for those people, for those bus kids, and for those visitors that we come and those new converts that we meet out visiting and those converts we have come from work. Hey, let's be an encouragement to them, and let's reach out to them. And again, you never know who you may be investing in. That bus rider, that young person or older person, whatever, that new convert, hey, that could be a Sunday school teacher one day. They could be a preacher one day, maybe a preacher's wife. They could go off to Bible college. They may get plugged into a church and sold out to God and get married and raise a family and raise that family in church and therefore then see their kids follow the Lord. And maybe God called them to preach or be a preacher's wife, whatever the case may be. We never know who we're investing in. And that's what ministry is all about. That's why we do what we do. Ministry is people. Ministry is loving people and helping people that aren't quite where we are at. And again, that's our purpose. And no, that's not always easy. I know it certainly wasn't easy with me growing up. I'm sure I frustrated a lot of people. And I will make a public apology now for that. So I apologize for I don't believe Miss Kim ever actually threw us out of Sunday school, though, so that was a blessing. I think she came close. I think Brother Junior came in and sat by us a few times, but we never got thrown out of Sunday school. But no, but hey, that's why we do what we do, to invest in people and to be patient with people and love people. And I think sometimes we fail as Christians in really investing in people. Just over the past year or two, just something I've kind of noticed or maybe observed, and maybe I'm off by this, but I think many times we can let ourselves fall into a trap where we think our title or our status counts for us investing in people. And what does that mean? I would say just because we have a title in the church, whether paid staff or whether it's a layman Sunday school teacher or bus worker or whatever that title may be, song leader, choir director, usher, deacon, whatever that title may be, or maybe you've just been saved for an extended period of time or been a church member for so much time, that doesn't mean we are actively investing in somebody's life. And sadly, I've seen a lot, and I think we can all fall guilty of it, but a lot of times I think we'll use that title or that Christian status that we have as counting us investing in people. Oh, I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm investing in people. And bus worker, that works for us too. Just because you may have the title bus worker doesn't mean you're really changing and investing in lives. And I don't mean to be, you know, I'm talking to myself here too, but let's not let our titles let's not let our titles get us to the point where we fall into the fact, well, oh, we're investing in people because I'm a Sunday school teacher, or I'm a deacon, or I'm an assistant pastor, or I'm a youth pastor, or I'm a song leader, whatever that case may be. Are you actively investing in people? You know, a lot of times we can have that title, or we can have this idea of ourselves, or whatever this status. And honestly, maybe other people don't look at us that way, and maybe don't have the same high opinion that we do of ourselves. And again, if we went up to those people that we would say, you know, I'm investing in them, would they say the same thing? You know, would they say we are investing in them? Or would they say, you know, I mean, they pick me up on the bus, but, you know, they don't really ever talk to me. You know, they're my Sunday school teacher, but they got to ask my name every week. You know, I come to church each and every week, but they never really shake my hand. They never really say hello. And let's not let our Christian status get to the point where we're not actively investing in people. And I think as Christians, there should be times where we stop and think and ask ourselves, am I truly investing in somebody's life right now? Am I actively trying to make a difference in somebody's life? If not, then we just need to adjust what we're doing. We need to ask God to help us and give us that opportunity and give us that desire to invest in people and to give us that opportunity to find somebody that we can be a help to. And He'll do it, and He'll give that to us if we truly have that desire in our heart. And God will give that to us. And again, maybe you're sitting there, maybe this doesn't apply to you. So just let me ask you this. Maybe... Is there someone out there that would say, if we asked them, oh yeah, this person, fill in the blank with your name, really made an impact on my life? Is there? I want you to just take a second and maybe think about that. If somebody asked, if we went around to whoever, whoever and asked, you know, who invested your life, is there anybody out there that would say your name? And I just wanted to take some time to think about that. You know, me as well. Is there somebody, is there multiple people, is there anybody that's saying, you know what, they made a difference? And if there's not, what are we doing? What progress are we making? You know, we may get a promotion at work, or we may get, you know, a nice car, a nice house, or whatever that case. We may get that title that we've been looking for, whatever the case. And that's all fine and good, and that's great, and we want those things. But when all that's passed, and we're up in heaven, or later on in life, as Paul looked back, and as he was in prison, I don't think he looked at the money he made, or the titles he achieved, or the accomplishments that he got. But I think he thought about, who have I invested in? You know what, I'm going to take this chance, and I'm going to send one more letter to Timothy, just trying to be encouragement. Because, folks, that's what really matters, and that's what we're doing here. And so I want us to think about that as we go out throughout the summer, as we leave here tonight. And maybe that's something we just think about as the weekend comes and the ministry start. Is there somebody out there that if we ask them, would they say my name, that I've invested in them? And so... and we can't win them all, so we can't get discouraged. Sometimes it's discouraging, and we try, and some people just don't listen. And trust me, we lose a lot of them. especially working in the bus ministry. Sometimes it could be a little bit discouraging. Maybe it seems like it's a small percentage of people we're really reaching. But I tell you what, it's worth it. And that one surrenders to the Lord and gives their life to the Lord, and they get saved. And we see them coming on Sunday night, and we see them coming on Wednesday and soul winning. And, man, that it's just worth it, man. I tell you what, that's better than a Red Bull. That'll put a little bit of pep in your step, and that'll encourage you. And my dad said amen to that. He hates those things. So investing in people, and I just got a few quick things, and then we'll head our separate ways. But how do we invest in people? What exactly does that mean for us? And how do we know if we are? And maybe I've got a couple points that will just be a help to us and be a challenge to us as we go out. Number one, we must pursue people. Matthew 28 that we read earlier at the beginning, it says, "Go ye therefore." The Bible tells us to go, to reach people, go to the uttermost parts of the earth, to our towns, our communities, our jobs, our families, everywhere around us. Reality is 90, I would say, it's probably 99, but 98% of people in the world are not coming to us. They're not just going to come to church and get saved and become faithful servants all by themselves. If that were the case, then, you know, we wouldn't really have a job here. And I wouldn't be an intern here. Brother Nichols, he'd be driving a truck somewhere, because we wouldn't really have a job, because everybody would just do it themselves. And so that's why we go to them. And maybe there's somebody on your mind right now that you're thinking about, who maybe it's just a new convert, or maybe they haven't gotten saved yet, but they've been visiting, or maybe you... maybe somebody you work with, or somebody you met on Thursday soul winning, whatever the case may be. And maybe you need to reach out to that new convert who's been saved for a few weeks or a few days, and maybe they just need a friend. And maybe they just need some encouragement to, hey, we're proud of you. We see what you're doing good. You're on the right track, and you know what? We're proud of you. And just help them and show them some of the ropes, like somebody did that to you as you were a new convert and a new Christian, and just be an encouragement to them and help them. And I tell you what, and even if they're not saved yet, I tell you what, I think if that's the attitude we had, and we didn't wait till after they got saved to do that, maybe we would see some more people saved. Those visitors that we have come, and those people that we meet on Thursday, let's just be an encouragement to them and be a help to them. And maybe they'll say, you know what, there's something going on there. There's something different about that person, about that Christian, man. They're always just an encouragement to me. Maybe there is something about that Christianity. Maybe there is something about that Jesus they keep talking about that, you know, maybe he can do something for me. Maybe he can change my life. So let's just remember that. And can I ask a question that maybe would be sobering to most of us, and to me as well, to all of us, but... how many bus teens, kids, name do you know? When is the last time you shook their hand, told them you were proud of them, you were happy to see them? Do you pray for them? And I know a lot of times in the busyness of Sundays and the weekends, it's sometimes hard to take time to go over there. And I understand all that, but I want us to think about it. You know, and how many of the names do we know, these visitors that come, the bus visitors and the visitors that we do invite through soul winning and all that, those people that come in, how many do we know their names? Some of them have been coming for a while now. We've got teenagers that come in and are sitting here coming for years, months. Do we know their names? And they see you every week. And you may not think they notice you, but they notice you. I promise you they do. And you know, they try to act kind of macho and kind of cool at times, but they just want somebody to come love them and shake their hand and just say, hey, we're glad to have you here. You know, we're proud of you. We don't want them to feel like they're an outcast here, or maybe that they don't belong here, or they're lesser than us. You know, they get that at home, to be honest with you. Again, we visit, and I usually hit on this every time I preach, and David messes with me every time. But again, we visit these young people, and I tell you what, they don't really get any love at the house. And a lot of times the parents are already drunk or passed out when we get there in the morning to pick them up, or on Sunday and Saturday, and they just don't really care that much about them. So when they come here, man, it'd be a blessing to them to just get a few hours in the day that, man, they feel some love, and somebody's glad to see them and glad to have them around and glad to see them. And I like to think about whenever we get frustrated, I tell you what, I get frustrated all the time. They're frustrating. I tell you what, especially when they don't listen to you, or you're trying to listen and they won't stop talking. I'm telling you, it's frustrating. I promise you. But a lot of times I'll try to remember and think about, you know what, this is just a few hours. This may be the only few hours out of the entire week that they are in a good environment. We get 5 hours out of 7 days a week to, if anything, just get them out of that environment for just a few hours. Even if we don't make a big difference or make a big breakthrough in them that day, they were in a place and they were hearing the Bible, and they were around a group of people that loved them and took care of them. So they just get a few hours of that. So we think about that whenever we get frustrated. You know what? That kind of puts a new perspective on things and kind of helps with our frustrations. So let's just remember that. And I want us to think about that as this weekend comes up, as this Sunday comes out. Let's try to go that extra mile to shake that visitor's hand and maybe that new convert. Maybe ask them to lunch or see if they want to grab a bite to eat or grab some dinner that week or whatever the case may be. We've been having these fundraisers, and praise the Lord, we've got some people coming to camp. They've never been to camp before. They ride our buses, and man, that's a blessing. That's an encouragement to me. And we've got a couple more fundraisers, so they've been coming on Sunday nights and sometimes Wednesday nights. Hey, let's take that time to go. You know, it's not the busyness of Sunday morning, so let's have time to sit with them and talk to them and get their name, figure out what they like, and just spend some time talking with them. I tell you what, you may not think it. It may not seem like it, but that goes a lot further than you think it does. Even as a young person, me and David would often talk of times that just a passing joke or maybe a hand on the shoulder or whatever, just that made more of an impact than you think it did, than you know it did. And many times, Brother Nichols, many of our memories with Brother Nichols, just as a young person, we often think back of just the little things, just the little times we had. Talking around and joking and messing with this. You know, I had a flashback of that yesterday, and I was like, dude, I'm not a teenager anymore. Why are you doing this? But hey, it was encouraging, I won't tell you what he did. I don't want to call him out, but no. but anyway, let's just remember that. Hey, it doesn't have to be some serious spiritual talk or some, you don't have to, you know, preach the Bible to him every second you get to him, but sometimes it's just a friendly conversation, just a friendly handshake, just some time talking with them, joking around with them, just showing them that you enjoy talking with them and you love them and you're glad you're here. So we must pursue people, we're almost out of time, so I'll run through just these last two real quick. We must be patient with people. So we must pursue people, and we must be patient with people. That verse, and it says, go ye therefore teaching them, patience. It's a fun one for all of us. I'll just go ahead and say, us Hannah man, we really struggle with patience, let me tell you. My mom just raised her hand and waved her hanky back there, so you might not want to turn around back there, but, you know, we all struggle with patience. We have several teachers in here with the Christian school, we have public school teachers in here, Sunday school teachers. I think y'all would all agree that it takes patience. We have several preachers in here, Brother Paul is an evangelist, and a lot of people that just deal with people, and it takes patience. That's one of the toughest things that we deal with. But again, we need to have patience with people. While we strive to invest in others, we just got to remember to have patience. People are going to frustrate us, and then they're going to do stuff, and we're going to scratch our heads and say, what are they doing? Are they not listening to a word I say? Are they not watching anything we're doing? What are they doing? They're not even listening to me. But you know what? Then we'll shake it off, and we'll keep going. I never want to become so impatient that I start to give up on people. I said it earlier, we never know what God has in store for this individual. It could be greater than we ever imagined, but they just need someone to love them and to push them and to encourage them and to not give up on them, just to be patient with them. Again, I think it helps when we think about how patient people are with us and were with us. Maybe you don't think people are patient with you, but I don't know, maybe they are. How patient Jesus is with us and was with us is, I don't know about you, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but I know I mess up every day, and I know I let him down, but praise the Lord, he's patient with us, he's patient with me each and every single day, and man, that kind of gives us a new perspective on things, as we are patient with other people, that you know what, I'm not perfect, and I know I frustrate other people, or whatever the case may be, and other people are gracious enough to be patient with me, so you know what, let me just be a blessing to this person and be patient with them. So we have to pursue people. We need to be patient with people. Number three, we need to pray for people. And I think this would be the most important. And there are several verses throughout the Bible. 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know the Bible deals with prayer over and over again throughout the entire book. And prayer isn't whenever we say, a lot of times we kind of throw around the phrase, I'll pray for you, I'm praying for you. And this isn't used, this statement or this, and prayer isn't to be used as a cop-out to not go and spend your time working to invest in others and using that as, you know, I'm not going to go out and do this and use, take this time to do this, but you know what, I'm praying for them. And that's not to necessarily be used as a cop-out, but I tell you what, there's nothing greater you can do for a saved or an unsaved individual than pray for them. And I know as growing up and even still now that many in this church had me on their prayer list daily, weekly, and many prayed for us as we grew up, and what a blessing that was. And we can invest all the time we want in people, but it's all going to mean nothing if we don't have God. And God does the real working in people's lives. And the best thing we can do for somebody is pray for them. And maybe a new convert, or even just those around you tonight, those around us, our church family. If we want to invest in people, you know, the top thing we can do is pray for people. And man, we need to strive to be a people of prayer and strive to have a heart for others and have a desire to pray for others and others' needs. And God answers and hears our prayers, amen. And we can take a joy in that and knowing that God's hearing. We're not praying to the ceiling. We're not our prayers are not bouncing off the wall. But you know what? God hears our prayers. And you know, if we want the desire to pursue people and be patient with people and just pray for people, we just need to realize, you know, people have struggles in their life. They have difficulties that they're dealing with that we may not know anything about. And that's from the bus kid to the person sitting next to you in the pew. And we never know what people are dealing with. And if we get a hold of that, man, I think we would have a heart to just invest in people, to be a blessing and encouragement to people. So I encourage us all this summer maybe to add some people to your prayer list. And I believe we would all be encouraged to see God work in the hearts of others and ourselves. And again, many of us are fortunate, we're blessed, and God sure blessed our lives. So let's take that and let's put that into some other people, maybe some people less fortunate. And let's spend some time investing in them and working together to make a difference in people's lives. And so again, I ask you that question again. Who is that you're investing in today? And is there a person out there that if we asked that they would say your name, that you know what, you really made a difference in my life? I know there's people like that in my head that I look back to and say, man, I'm sure thankful for them. They're the reason I am who I am today, and they sure made a difference in my life. So I want you to just maybe take that question with you this week. You know, who am I investing in? Am I actively investing in anybody? Is somebody thankful for what I've done for them and invested in them? So let's just strive and work together for the cause of Christ this summer and make a difference in some people's life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this, again, this day and this service we've had, Lord. And Lord, how you've spoken to my heart already when you gave me this challenge, Lord. I pray that we would just, that you would keep that fresh in our hearts as we go out this week and this summer, Lord, that we would just have a burden to invest in people and make a difference in people's lives, Lord. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways, Lord. Be with us in the prayer meeting. And, Lord, we just love you and thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.